Welcome to this video series on sociocultural theory and language learning, teaching and assessment. In this final video, this resource, we'll talk about another dialectical unity, praxis, or then partnership between theory and practice, or teachers and researchers. So we'll talk about how theory and practice come together, with theory leading to changes in teaching practice. We'll also discuss how the teaching research partnership changes the research process, and we'll illustrate that with several examples. Now, so far in this video series, we focused on teaching and learning. Here we'll discuss how classroom research can be conducted informed by Vygotskian sociocultural theory. So in Vygotskian thinking, and you probably realized it by this time in the engaging with the videos, teachers should not be mere participants or recipients in research, sort of applying the theoretical principles in their practice. Theory should become sort of a means to mediate teachers in their development and in their functioning in novel contexts. But practice should too be used to transform theory. So this changes the way that research is conducted, can be conducted quite substantially. So praxis-informed partnerships are about resolving a challenge or challenges in research and practice collaboratively with teachers. These collaborations are also informed by this joint intentionality of teachers and researchers to transform practice, to bring to a change. And this transformation occurs through a dialectical relationship between teachers and researchers, or then research and practice. We talked about dialectics in the previous video, or like several of them actually in this series, right? Theory here in this partnership ceases to be but a lens used to interpret practice, but theoretical principles are actively used to transform it. The practical knowledge and understandings and scientific concepts come together to form these true concepts, right, which we discussed in a different video. Then the joint understanding, how they work together, right, to resolve a particular challenge, leading then to a transformation of practice or a change in it. And this kind of genetic research, genetic meaning related to the process of development of human functioning, right, as a qualitative transformation. So we discussed in the very first videos to this series concepts such as sort of proximal development and mediation can become both a lens for interpreting and understanding practice and for leading to a qualitative transformation in it, sort of mediational means guiding the change. So the two principles of this the dialectical partnership is that educational practice becomes the context where theoretical principles and concepts are put to test, whereas theory is then used to transform practice. As Nikolai Verisov said, theory without an experiment is a voluntary play of mind. An experiment without a theory is a knife without a handle, meaning that it can be misleading or even harmful. And this all has really important consequences to the role of teachers in this partnership. They stop being subjects of research, somebody being well researched, and become equal partners with researchers, bringing their experiences with that or those of the researchers and committing jointly to resolving challenges in practice. So it starts with a challenge. So researchers are not know-it-alls, right, who come into the classroom telling us, or the teachers, how to fix things. Instead, this kind of careful joint planning and discussing is needed in deciding what is it that it needs to be changed, transformed, what is it what it needs to be researched for that, and how. Don't forget that these questions are not descriptive, but they are guided by this idea of a change, of a transformation. The what questions also involve this identifying of the flowers of development. So the functions, right, or understandings and knowledge of the teachers which are already in the process of maturing, right, which could be built upon. Following that, the question of how becomes important, how these are going to be researched, how these are going to be guided, how these are going to be changed. And the concepts here, such as non-proximal development, mediation, well, the framework of dynamic assessment, and others, which we discussed in this video resource, become sort of useful to guide this joint thinking, but also to be applied in practice. And in the process of the partnership, the joint understanding of what it means in a particular context, right? What mediation is in the classroom, how to use dynamic assessment in a particular classroom, right? What is non-proximal development, right, of the learners, right? This kind of this joint understanding is created between researchers and teachers. And in this example there, it comes from my partnership with a Lukio teacher, so upper secondary school teacher of English, who was searching for a way to resolve the challenge for her learners and herself of the matriculation examination. This is the high stakes examination at the end of upper secondary school, becoming sort of an obstacle to learners' development, their writing, the quality of their writing in this case. So we discussed with the teachers some of the concepts which were covered in this video series, like mediation. So what is mediation? How do you mediate the learners? What's the difference from feedback? Right? What are the mediational means? But more importantly, we worked towards making the matriculation examination into a mediational means to guide the learners rather than an obstacle to the development of their writing. So in this excerpt, what happens is that the teacher and the learner discussed the learner's practice matriculation examination essay, which the learner ended very abruptly. And the learner revealed that he was very aware of that problem, but fearing that he was reaching the length limit of the essay, for which learners are penalized during the matriculation examination. If you go beyond the length limit, you get minus scores. And because it is high stakes, that becomes really, really important. So he just stopped writing. That was his way to resolving the conflict. He was not satisfied with that. He said that. Really wasn't satisfied with the ending, he said. But he decided to just stop it, thinking that was the solution. So the matriculation examination became that obstacle, right? This brick wall for learners' writing. Well, the teacher didn't know whether the learner was actually able to write a conclusion to an essay because he didn't write it. And neither was she aware whether the learner could write concisely, which is a feature of writing in English. whether he was able to connect his understanding of this ending abruptly to actually being able to write it. So what she did, she said, all right, you're reaching the length limit. Come back to the classroom and finish it by using just one or few sentences. And he did. And he also transferred it, this to a different essay, which we wrote later on. That was, again, a practice matriculation examination essay in the course. So this is the first sentence in the essay, and then later on you see the one in the conclusion. And the conclusion was concise, right? And he linked that to the introduction, making it a coherent piece of writing. So the teacher used the matriculation examination as a means for helping the learner to write concisely. You don't have to write a lot. Well, you'll be penalized for writing too much in a matriculation examination. So why don't you come back to the classroom and try to write one? Just a few sentences and connect that to the introduction. The teacher's intention was to change that for the learner from an obstacle, right, to a means to guide learners thinking about his writing process, right? Just write a couple of sentences. So the learner was asked to practice it, and he did, and he transferred that to a different essay. Now, another example comes from the collaboration or the partnership which we engaged in with Christina while working on this resource together.
Te molemme nyt teineet yhteistöitä ehkä 3 kuukautta ja keskustelemme paljon sosiokulttuurisen teoriasta. Ja mitä se antoi sulle meidän yhteistyötä?
Ennen kaikkea musta tuntuu, että se antoi ymmärrystä noihin opetustilanteisiin, mitä olen itse kohdannut ja etenkin opetusharjoittelussa, minkälaisiin tilanteisiin siellä itse jouduin ja pääsin ja sitten sellaisiin tilanteisiin etenkin, mitkä nyt jälkeenpäin katsottuna ei ehkä mennyt niin hyvin kuin olisi voinut mennä. Niin tuossa sosiokulttuurinen teoria on auttanut vähän saamaan ymmärrystä ja semmoisia konkreettisia työkaluja, että miten näissä tilanteissa voisi toimia esimerkiksi toisin sitten tulevaisuudessa työelämässä varsinaisesti. Mm. Mutta ehkä yksi tällainen tapaus tuolla opetusharjoittelussa oli sellainen, näin niin kuin esimerkkinä. Kun totta kai luokassa tehdään yhteisesti näitä tehtäviä, olkoon kyseessä vaikka kirjankappaleeseen liittyvä kirjoitustehtävä, jotka sitten tekemisen jälkeen tietenkin opettaja tarkistaa. Mutta miten? Miten opettaja tarkistaa sen? Et siinä vaiheessa silloin, kun itse olin opetusharjoittelussa, niin huomasin, että tehtävän tarkistukset meni siihen, että mä kiersin luokkahuoneessa tarkistamassa ne tehdyt tehtävät niin kuin oppilas kerrallaan. Ja koitin ratkaista jokaisen oppilaan vaikeudet niin kuin ihan yksitellen sitä mukaan, kun kiersin siellä luokassa. Ja tietenkin siihen menee kauheasti aikaa, ja muut oppilaat joutuu odottamaan ihan turhaan. Että se ajankäyttö ei ole tehokasta, eikä se hyödytä kaikkia oppilaita.
So Christine recalls here her experience in teaching language through the prism of her переживания, which we talked about in the previous video, and then her emotion cognition dialectical unity. So she wanted to help, she desired to help each individual learner resolving their difficulties for them while the rest waited. And she was sort of dissatisfied with the outcome of that.
Niin, nyt ehkä ymmärrän enemmän tuon sosiokulttuurisen teorian myötä, että miten tällainen vastaava tilanne voisi niin kuin olla kaikkien hyödyksi. Mm. Ja se, miten se voisi olla hyödyksi, niin avainsanat on oikeastaan vuorovaikutuksellisuus, osallistuminen, kehittyminen ja semmoinen yhteinen prosessi. Et tuo niin kuin yhteiseksi sen ongelman siellä luokkahuoneessa, että ottaa vaikka niin kuin yhden oppilaan kesken sen vuorovaikutuksen, niin kuin, mutta vie sen sinne luokkahuoneen eteen, että kaikki pääsee kuuntelemaan sitä ongelmanratkaisua, mikä sitten taas vie kohti yhteistä ymmärrystä ja kehitystä.
Ihana. Okei, kiitoksia.
Joo, kiitos.
So, she said that she now understands the development as a sort of this emerging and co-constructed process in which other learners not immediately present in the interaction or participating in interaction, they're still part of. So she's now building her understanding of development as happening in interaction with others, in particular, I assume, on our discussion of how the teacher of Spanish orchestrated the activity to enable and trace the development of other learners, right, which are initially not participating actively in the interaction. Here it is, of course, her retrospection. So it's difficult to say how her teaching changed. Because remember, sort of, it's a unity of theory and practice. But she is using the theoretical concepts we discussed throughout our working on this resource to mediate her understanding of her experience and propose a change in the way she would orchestrate this particular classroom activity. So by applying theoretical principles and concepts in their own way and based on their own understanding emerging from this dialectical collaboration with a researcher, the teachers can identify or potentially able to identify these flowers of learners' development and nurture them to grow into fruits. Through the first teacher's mediation that we discussed here, matriculation examination made it more likely, or the teacher made it more likely for the matriculation examination to develop the learner's understanding, or she used it to develop the learner's understanding of how you can complete the text by making it concise while still staying within the length limit. And matriculation examination is important, right? So the learner is likely to remember that. Okay, I should write it short sentences as well. So she made sure that the matriculation examination did not impede the writing or hinder the learner's writing, but actually made it better. Christina's reflection on her practice through the prism of Pirishavanya, her wishing to help learners, and through her engaging this scientific concepts that we discussed throughout our collaboration, reflected on how she can change her practice in her future profession. So making sure that all learners are involved, right, and benefit from the classroom interaction. So I have very little doubt that she can apply it, and she will apply it, I'm pretty sure. So this concludes this video on theory and practice partnership and the whole of the resource on the sociocultural theory on language learning, teaching and assessment. I hope it was useful. Thank you.